Welcome to the Word from the Ancient Path, stories and sermons for the journey. It's a channel of blessing and encouragement for beloved friends all over the world to hear and experience how God speaks and works through ordinary people with an extraordinary calling. We bring you stories of good news, connecting in Christ, and building the kingdom, and the Word of God declared through the pastors and missionaries of Ancient Path Ministries, La Iglesia Volviendo a la Senda Antigua. Beloved listeners and friends, I am your guide, Pastor Kevin Jobe, and I am very happy to be with you. Our ministry was founded in 2011 by Pastors Jose Santiago and Yami Cruz in Jovellanos, Cuba. And my wife Tani and I serve as directors and chief connection makers for the U.S. branch of the ministry. Together we have a great team of pastors, missionaries, advisors, and kingdom servants who are dedicated to planting churches and spreading the reach of the gospel. We pray that you are blessed and inspired by these sermons, reflections, and our testimony of what God has done and is doing in and through us. It is Thanksgiving Day 2021 as I start to write this edition of the podcast. And this week I have to produce things early because something great is happening in our ministry. If you are listening to this on the day that it posts, then Tani and I are on the road. We are visiting our second home for the first time in 20 months for me, nearing 2 years for her. I'm certain that being with Yami and our new nephews and our beloved La Senda Antigua has been amazing and a very sweet reunion. And I trust that by the time this podcast reaches your ears, the Lord has renewed our vision and our strength and filled us all with new wind and fire of the Spirit. But all of us understand that things are different now. I was last in Cuba the week of March 6th through 13th, 2020, and the entire world knows what happened during those days. I left home with a team of medical professionals without suspecting that a virus was about to change the world. We landed back in the United States just a few hours before pandemic protocol was implemented in our airports and just a day before Cuba would announce the closure of her borders. As I hugged my little brother and we planted a besito on each other's cheek at Jose Marti Airport, I never dreamed it would be our last adios in this lifetime. I would have held on to him a whole lot tighter. For our time together this week at La Senda Antigua, Yami asked that I meet with and prepare a word of encouragement for our leadership. So I'm going to share a bit of what I'm bringing to them, or at least at posting time, plan to bring to them. 1 Timothy 5, verses 24 and 25 says, "The sins of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not cannot be hidden. What we do here and now will ripple throughout time until the day of judgment comes. When we live outside of Christ, outside of God's perfect law and the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit and the community of believers, it is likely that our sin will be what ripples and expands. But in Jesus Christ, our good will expand and grow and move others. And the power of the Holy Spirit will enable what we do here to tear open the curtain that separates us from God and will draw others to Christ. The cumulative effect of this good cannot be measured until the day of Christ's coming. It will amaze us all. We are shapers of the world's destiny. We are building God's kingdom even here and now in this moment. On Resurrection Sunday 2021, I celebrated and I took comfort in the victory of Jesus, even as I was racked with anguish like I had never felt before over the passing of my little brother Joseito the day before. Today, Thanksgiving Day, even as I worry about how things will go on the first trip back to Cuba without him, and I hate the idea that I won't get another hug and besito, I know that God has given us work which the Spirit will empower in the days and years ahead. I am grateful to live a life so full as to be beyond my capacity to ask or even imagine. I'm surrounded by God's love at every turn. To God be the glory. So with all that introduction in mind, my plan now is to wrap up the miraculous origin story of the Job Santiago or Santiago Jobe family. I am truly humbled to be part of it. I'm going to get a little more open with you than I'm comfortable doing. By doing so, I hope to invite you into something remarkable that God graced to two of his boys and our collective family. So I invite you, as you hear these next words, to picture in your mind the opening crawl of a Star Wars movie. It is the summer of 2007. In the past 9 months, God has brought two pastors, Kevin Job from Ohio and Jose Santiago of Jovellanos, Matanza, crashing together in a supernatural moment and has begun to reveal something to us that was planned from before we were born. Our churches have begun a prayer pact and are supporting one another through a season of spiritual opposition against the work which God is doing in us. Throughout all of this, Jose and Yami and Tani and I have pledged our love and partnership to each other for the long haul, and Jose even built us a room of our own in Jovellano with a whole load of furniture. That alone would suffice as a great testimony, I think. But God had more to reveal to Jose and I regarding our relationship and his sovereign plans for us. As my second of 31 trips to Cuba continued, I remained in awe of God's work and in the strength of Yami and Jose as they worked for the kingdom. I was going to discover something new. Let's remember again this word from 1 Samuel 18. Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. At the close of a prayer gathering in which God was drawing our mission team and La Capilla El Salvador together, we had opportunity to pray one-on-one with someone. Yami grabbed Tani, Jose came to me. My journal recalls this. I hug him. He grabs on even tighter. I tell him I love him. He tells me the same. And I begin to thank God for his mercy once again. And then as I'm praying and holding on to Jose, I hear him. He starts to heave against me and begins to sob. I am broken. Jose's 10 years younger, several inches shorter than I am, but I have spent our thus far brief relationship looking up to him, drawing strength from his anointing and his faithfulness. I see him as so much stronger than me, but right now he's holding on to me for strength as his anguish overflows. And for that moment, I get to be God's strength to my brother. The love that God has granted us is unlike anything I've ever experienced. It is strong, and I am strong. This brotherhood will prove itself deep as well. David and Jonathan come to my mind, but I couldn't say who is who. One of my favorite musicians wrote that you never know who God is going to use, maybe even you. In revealing his heart for us, the Lord used a couple of great translators. And I've told you about Matt from our first visit. And for this next phase, God gifted us a remarkable 17-year-old young lady who had the necessary talents to cross the language barrier. Lisi remains a dear friend and a gift of God to Tani and I today. She calls us aunt and uncle. Back at home in a room of our own, as my journal tells it, with Lisi's help, Jose and I sat down on my bed and laid out our hearts and testimonies. I took a deep breath and started to tell my story. Now, there are aspects of my response to those who abandoned and betrayed or abused the boy who I was that are hard for me to admit. And there's terminology regarding my own sin that I rarely use. At this point in our relationship, I still had fear that Jose might leave too, but when I looked over at him, his eyes were teared over. And he told me that he loves and admires and respects me even more knowing my testimony. Oh, Lord, you are so good. I thank you for this incredible bond. And then he told us of his amazing journey, which was previously featured in episode 4 of the podcast. And much like Tani has done in my life, he told me how much Yami taught him about being a man. Across several honest and vulnerable conversations, the four of us then continued to unpack our relationship and our mission. Hour by hour, our love for each other is growing. I am overwhelmed by God's mercy. How did I get to be here? We're going to take a moment now for a short break. Stay with us for more on the Ancient Path. At Ancient Path Ministries, our greatest hope is to carry the light of the kingdom of God into places where it is most needed. We want to see people set free from what holds them captive and offer salvation in Christ to people lost in darkness. We want to live as examples, the oaks of righteousness planted to display God's splendor. Now, our ministry is built on connections in Christ, and our financial foundation depends on the regular partnership of beloved friends such as you. If you'd be interested in becoming a Covenant financial partner or just contribute to the work of the ministry, I invite you to visit our website, ancientpathministries.org. Check out the Church in Action and see how you can be a part of bringing good news, connecting in Christ, and building the kingdom. And we are back. Now, the story of David and Jonathan is full of incredible moments of Spirit-given unity, as when Jonathan, the prince, offers his royal tunic, humbling himself to bestow honor on David. It's also one that's fraught with danger and more than one difficult farewell. And so it goes with us. From my August 2007 journal, I knew it had to happen. The van came to get us. We embrace everyone we can get our arms around, and then I slip back into the church and hang my shirt over the welcome sign to leave for Jose. Yami and I can handle one goodbye this trip. She and Tani have an even tougher time of it. Then Jose comes running out of the church to give me back my shirt. You keep it, David. Jonathan has more where that came from. But it is time to say goodbye, and with tears, we get one last good, strong hug and besito. We place a hand over each other's hearts, and in my newfound Spanish, I manage to say, siempre en mi corazón, mi hermano. Always in my heart, my brother. He nods and points back to me, and that's it. It breaks me to say goodbye. Thank you, Jesus, is insufficient for what you've given me. I love you so much, my Savior. So now here's a little bit that I'm not really all that comfortable sharing with you. There was real profound grief we felt leaving them that trip. I mean, you got to remember that together we'd only been 5 days. But still, early on the morning after we left them, my journal recalls that Tani and I felt somewhat shell-shocked. And then it all came exploding out. I heaved and cried and sobbed a whole bunch. I am so in love with Jose and Yami and the boys and La Capilla and my wife and my kids and especially my God that I can't contain myself. I am so blessed to live this life and so eager to get home and hold my kids and so worried about my friends here in Cuba and so pained for Jose and Yami. So unbearably sad that it'll be at least several months before I am sitting at their table again. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. On the bus ride to Havana, my iPod shuffles to a song I haven't heard in years. You see the same stars through brown eyes that I see through blue, but we're worlds apart. And you see the same skies through your window that I see through mine, but we're worlds apart. Just like the moon and just like the sun, two hearts together are better than one. Immediately, Proverbs 4 comes to mind, where the word says two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Joseito never knew my song, but he knew that word of God well. This relationship was deeper than I could have imagined, and yet I still somehow knew that there was more that God had yet to reveal to us. So we went back home to deal with that spiritual storm that we talked about last week. And even as our partners were praying us through it, in Hawaiano, they were going through their own struggles, and I knew, even when we left Cuba in August, that somehow I had to go back by myself. I had a sense that the partnership would benefit and that I would somehow be there for Jose in a moment of crisis. So even as my church waited on the Lord to deliver us from the spiritual fog, I was making plans for a short trip back down. And in December of 2007, Jose's mom lost both legs to diabetes. And I had questioned at times whether I was just being selfish about making the trip, but now I was assured that there was God-given reasoning. Of course, I really only knew the half of what the Lord had waiting. My voyage down was rocky from the beginning. A snowstorm in Indiana, bumped off a flight in Cancun, an extra 8.5 hours in transit. And by the time I finally got back to my bed in Hawaiano, I had been on the road for 27 hours. I awoke the next morning with a couple of boys on top of me to find out that I'm now Uncle Kevin to all four of the boys. And we spend a good deal of time on this trip introducing me to the rest of my Cuban family. Now, Cubanos love surprises. And on the Sunday of this trip, I was promised a day full of them. Indeed, it would be a day of surprise, just not the ones that Jose and Yami had planned for me. Sierra, Jose's mom, had a full-blown health crisis early that morning, and there was serious question as to her survival. And so he spent most of the day on riding around the province on his motorcycle to take care of medical arrangements. And I spent my morning filling in for him at Sunday school and the rest of the day praying for everyone. By evening, Sierra was in the hospital and word came that she had stabilized. And with only an hour or two left to be together, Jose and Yami and Lisi and I sat down in the living room to talk. Across the 14 months since our first encounter, God had been revealing an incredible depth of relationship between us. I suspected something more profound even still, but my past trauma would not allow me to say that out loud. I was sure that if I spoke my thoughts that Joseito would assume I was crazy. Well, on that last evening together, as my journal records, we pray. And as he begins, he speaks for me nearly every thought that I have had for him in his prayer. For me, for Tani and the kids, for Grace Church. And these are all the things I pray for him. It would seem we're twin sons of different mothers. And then he starts to sing. Lord, you saw me when no one else did. You loved me when no one else did. And you gave me your name. I'm your child, the apple of your eye. You love me, and I love you more than life, Lord. And then Yami begins to sing along, and I am awestruck. But it gets even better. As Yami continued to hum the tune, Joseito simply starts giving thanks for many, many things, but in particular for me and the incredible gift of brotherhood that God has granted us. And then out of nowhere, it seems he says it out loud. I thank you. And I praise you, Lord, not only for a brother in Jesus Christ, but for this brother of my own flesh and blood. Oh, little bro, I am so with you. Thank you, Jesus. As we lived through this gradual revelation, both of us had struggled, each being afraid to speak what God was telling us, fearing the other's response. But in that moment, it all came clear. And neither of us ever feared or doubted our supernatural brotherhood again. As a matter of fact, from that moment out, we decided it would be a bit like, we could be a little bit like little boys again, right? Make up for some lost playtime. Months later, during preparation for his first ever visit to the U.S., he told me that as an only child, he often felt alone and had daydreams that he had a brother and that one day they would go riding in a car across the United States. And now I was to be the fulfillment of this long-forgotten dream. Now, unlike my baby brother, I grew up the baby boy of quite a large family. They're an amazing crew, actually. And on Palm Sunday 2009, Joseito met them all. All 60-plus of them who had come together for exactly that purpose. Now, my oldest daughter spent 6 months living with Jose and Yami after she graduated from high school a few years ago. And in 2020... in response to a Father's Day greeting she'd sent to her tío, she received a message in which he recalled that day. These are his words in my translation. He said, "My life changed completely after knowing all of you. I remember that day when I arrived in Cincinnati for the first time, and your dad took me to the fellowship hall at the church, and there was this huge family, and they took me in. Adopted me as their own without even knowing me. I will never forget that. I'm so happy to be part of the family." Oh, Joseito, we love that you were a part of us. As I finish up this story, it's Saturday after Thanksgiving, and my belly is stuffed, and my heart is full. There's an ache in my heart, though. It was always there for Joseito and I whenever we had to be apart. But until now, I always look forward to a big hug and besito and some time to work and play and annoy the snot out of each other. We sort of always found that to be helpful. But for now, I'm just going to carry that ache and all of the work forward until the day comes when I get to annoy him again and we get to play around some more on the other side of this life. But the good work of the hand of God through my little brother, Jose Santiago, will continue to ripple out. And its full effect won't be realized until the day of Christ. And those of us left here will, as Yami says, continue the race until God has finished his good work through us. The ancient path still stretches out ahead of us. Here we are shapers of the world's destiny. We are building God's kingdom, even here and now in this moment. Greater things have yet to come. So in finishing this chapter of our story just now, I'm feeling like this would make a really good place to take a breath. And so, you know what? We're going to take a break for a few weeks. So what you've just heard has been our season one finale, which makes us sound kind of important. I like that. Anyway, beloved friend, we're going to be back with you on Monday, the 3rd of January, 2022, for our season two premiere, which sounds equally as important. So we will introduce you to a new season of Word and Testimony from the ongoing work of the people of the ancient path, La Senda Antigua. In the meantime, you can get caught up on all of season one, binge listen if you like, and tell all of your friends to check us out on their favorite podcast platform. Check out our website, ancientpathministries.org. Like and follow us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at Ancient Path Ministries. This is Pastor Kevin Job for Ancient Path Ministries, La Iglesia Volviendo a la Senda Antigua. Que Dios te bendiga mucho. Go